Before we head into the scripture, I should make one little clarification on what I said earlier. I said that Ridgewood told us we had to leave. They didn't. They said we had to stay. And so we still go to church there all the time. So don't go saying to them, he said. Simple question for you. Don't have to answer it out loud. Just think about it. Why are we here today? To worship God, of course, but why today? The Bible says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. That was yesterday. Why are we here today? Because, of course, the first day of the week is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Every single Sunday, we're celebrating Easter. So I'm going to talk about that this morning. An Easter sermon at the beginning of Lent. I know that your pastor is going to talk about thorns in the Sundays to come, and that's very appropriate for Lent, but I want to think about where that path of thorns will end and what that will mean for us. So I don't know if you're putting the scripture on the screen or if you'd like to open your Bible. I'm looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. I don't have any slides. I don't have any outline for you because the text is the outline. If you leave it open in your lap, you'll be able to follow right along and not get lost at all, I think. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, friends in Christ, I was talking with a smart-alecky friend of mine the other day about something controversial. It was probably politics, on which we do not agree. I said something that he really disagreed with, and he looked at me with a snarky smile and said, "What world do you live in, dude?" That's my question for you this morning. What world do you live in, dude? Or dudettes, or however that goes in the 21st century. I put that question into my Google, and it gave more answers than I could have imagined. What world do you live in? It just all kinds of them. But this morning, I want to think about just three possible worlds you could live in. I want to change the question with one word. What universe do you live in? The physical universe, the metaverse, or the Easterverse? Now, I'm sure that all of you know what the physical universe is. But in case some of you kids don't know, let me tell you this. The physical universe is everything you can see and hear and taste and touch and smell. It's the sun and the sky above. It's the grains of sand on the shores of Lake Michigan. If you get a telescope, it's those glorious galaxies light years away. If you get a microscope, it's those nasty viruses that caused COVID. We all live in the physical universe. We don't have a choice. We're just here. Now, some people think that the physical universe is all there is, and someday it's going to end, and so are you. But that doesn't matter, because it's all just a mindless, random process of cause and effect. If that's true, then William Shatner of Star Trek fame was right when he said in his newest book, "In the end, it doesn't mean a thing. What goes up must come down." That's really all there is to life, cause and effect. What goes up must come down. We live in the physical universe. We have no choice in the matter. It has nothing to do with faith. Well, yes, it does. You can decide whether you're going to believe that the physical universe is all there is. Many people are looking forward, some with great hope, some with great fear, to another universe, the metaverse. You know what that is? It has to do with computers. All right? Here's how Time Magazine defined it in an article a little while back, one of their major articles. The metaverse is a parallel virtual plane of existence that spans all digital technologies and will even come to control much of the physical. Make sense? Let me help you. Ever see one of these? This is your entry into the metaverse. You can get just about anywhere in the world, do almost anything with a little bitty smartphone. This didn't make any sense to me when it came out. Makes a lot more sense now. Think metaverse, think smartphones, or think virtual reality goggles. Anybody here have them at home? You're not going to admit it, are you? Okay, somebody admitted it. You put them on, and you instantly walk into another universe, an alternate universe. It's all virtual. Or if you don't want to spend a lot of money buying those things, just watch the movie The Matrix, where all of reality is virtually produced. Well, I better take that back. The Matrix is a bit much for young kids and folks like me. So forget I said that. But it's an example of the metaverse. And the big boys and girls in Silicon Valley, Google and Meta and all of them, are trying to create a metaverse in which relationships and labor and leisure and wealth and even religion is online. We experienced that, didn't we, in the middle of the pandemic? Religion online. We didn't like it much. Already today, people spend hours each day in the metaverse. Hours and hours. But as William Shatner said of the physical universe, so of the metaverse, in the end, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't mean a thing. Just an endless series of X's and O's, increasingly controlled by algorithms and AI. But unlike the physical universe, you can choose whether you want to live in the metaverse. You can decide how much time you're going to give to virtual reality. Okay, physical universe, metaverse. Now I want to do what I really came here to do, and that's invite you into the Easterverse. The universe that flows out of the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. I call it the Easterverse. It's not physical, it's not virtual, it's spiritual. It's as real as the physical universe, more real than the virtual universe. And you can access it only by faith. And you have to wear a special pair of glasses. What John Calvin called the spectacles of Scripture to see it. It's full of possibilities and promises and realities that no one could have imagined and a lot of people can't believe. Here's how Peter introduces it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to dwell with you on that phrase, living hope. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Nick Cave. Nick Cave is a rock star from Australia who recently lost a child, a son, a 15-year-old son, who fell from a cliff and broke every bone in his body. Nick Cave wrote a book about that entitled Faith, Hope, and Carnage. Now, he's not a believer, but he is a seeker, which explains why he defined hope the way he did. Hope, he said, is optimism with a broken heart. I kind of like that. Poetic, beautiful. But ultimately, hopeless. Nick Cave and millions like him do not have a living hope based on the reality of Christ's resurrection that changed the world full of broken hearts. How did Jesus' resurrection change the world? I'm glad you asked. In multiple ways. In multidimensional ways. Now, the physical universe has four dimensions, right? Some theoretical physicists say there's more, but that's really hard to get hold of. So we all know that the universe has four dimensions. Height and width and depth and what? Time. The four dimensions of the physical universe. Peter here says that the Easter verse has five dimensions. You'll probably find more as you search through the scripture, but these five are the ones that Peter talks about. In a world full of death and disaster and carnage and broken hearts, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us an incredible future. Listen to this. Through Christ's resurrection, we've been given new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Now, all of us older folks know exactly what an inheritance is, but maybe some of you kids don't. An inheritance is what you might get from your mom and dad when they're older and they die. I received an inheritance from my mom about 3 years ago when she died. It wasn't much. There were a few stocks and bonds, a little bit of money, and a tiny house in southeast Denver where I grew up. Little less than 1,000 square feet, and that included the basement. Her and my dad built it about 60 years ago, back in the 50s, for $14,000. You wouldn't believe what it was worth when we went to sell it. The red-hot real estate market in Denver, Colorado, 3 years ago. It didn't make us rich when we sold it, but I'll tell you, it blew our minds. Which is exactly what will happen when we receive the inheritance from Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared in heaven and in the new heaven and the new earth for those who receive what Jesus has bought with his death and resurrection. Peter assures us here that this inheritance cannot perish, spoil, or fade. We can't spend our way through it. We can't have it stolen from us. We can't be defrauded of it. We won't have to argue about it with our brothers and sisters. This inheritance is as solid and secure as God. Now, I don't know how you've spent your life money-wise. Maybe you've been rich, maybe you've been poor. But I can tell you based on this that all of God's born-again children will inherit something when they die and meet Christ that will make all of the earth's riches put together seem like ashes and dust. It'll all pale in comparison. That's the first dimension of the Easter verse. An incredible future. Here's the second. An unshakable present. Peter puts it this way. No matter what happens to you, he says, you are being shielded by God's power until our coming salvation is revealed. I like that word, shielded. The minute I read it, I thought of the Marvel Universe. You know what I mean? Younger folks do. Older folks go, Marvel Universe. And you know, it's the one full of superheroes like Captain America, who has a shield that can stop absolutely anything. Indestructible. Although you always wonder when you're watching the Marvel Universe whether some villain's going to come along and is able to shatter it. Well, Peter says here, the shield of God's power and love will keep us safe. Yes, bad things happen to God's children. Shooting last week at the Super Bowl celebration. People losing their lives in terrible weather events. The massacres going on in Israel and Ukraine. But, says Peter here, that'll never happen with the shield of God's love and power. Never. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our inheritance is kept safe in heaven. We are kept safe on this earth until the coming of the salvation that is going to be revealed to us one day. In that incredible future and unshakable present, we greatly rejoice, says Peter, even though now, for a little while, we may have to suffer various kinds of trials. That's the third dimension of the Easter verse. We're going to have to suffer grief in various kinds of trials, but that suffering has meaning. Now, people who believe only in the physical universe say, nah, it doesn't mean anything. Suffering is just, you know, nature red in tooth and claw. It's what happens. Doesn't mean anything. People who spend their time in the metaverse say, well, killing people and destroying monsters, that's part of the game. God says the suffering you go through has a purpose. You remember what William Shakespeare said about the meaninglessness of life? Life is a tale told by an idiot. Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Richard Dawkins, the atheistic scientist, said there's no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. The Bible says it better. The preacher who wrote Ecclesiastes looked over all of life and said, it's meaningless. It's utterly meaningless. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. Kind of surprising to find that in the Bible, isn't it? Until you read very carefully in Ecclesiastes and discover that when he says that education is meaningless, when he says that leisure is meaningless, and family and love and pleasure, it's all meaningless. He always says it's meaningless under the sun. And what he means is if you only look at life through human eyes in this physical universe, then it does look meaningless. But when you look at life under the sun, S-O-N, when you look at the world ruled by the risen Savior sitting on the throne, ruling all things according to God's eternal plan, well then, suffering of God's born-again children has meaning. purpose. We'll have to wait until we see Jesus to get the answer to the question of what caused this? Was it my sin? Was it God's will? Was it the devil? You know how we wrestle with that cause question? And when we see Jesus, we'll finally get the answer to the reason question. What was the reason for all this? But we now know the answer to the purpose question. What was all this designed to do? We suffer grief in all kinds of trials, says Peter, so that your faith, more precious than gold, will be proved genuine and will result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Suffering, says the Word of God, tests our faith, reveals our faith, strengthens our faith, purifies our faith until the faith that is mixed with doubt and questions and disbelief is turned into 100% 24-karat gold faith. And that bright and shining faith will result, says Peter, in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, he's not talking there about when Jesus gets the praise and the glory and the honor. He will, of course, when he returns. Now Jesus has to live with disrespect and abuse and rejection and ignoring. For 2,000 years, Jesus has let people do that. And in the end, when he comes, everybody's going to give him praise and glory and honor. That's not what Peter's talking about. He's talking about the way the praise and glory and honor of Jesus will be reflected onto us. And we will share his praise and glory and honor. We spend our lives seeking praise, holding on to honor, wishing we could get more glory. It's never enough. It never lasts. We end up suffering in shame and dying in disgrace. But in the brave new world that Jesus created when he rose from the dead, all of life's suffering, every single drop of tear and blood will be eclipsed by the praise and glory and honor of Jesus himself. In this we greatly rejoice, says Peter, and we do even though the risen Christ is invisible. And that leads us to the fourth dimension of the Easter verse. The eternal presence of the invisible Christ. Peter says, though you do not see him, you have not seen him. He's talking to these Christians way back when who never saw the physical Jesus the way Peter had. They believed because Peter had told them. But he says, you've never seen him, and you do not see him now because, of course, he's invisible in heaven, ruling from that throne. Even though you did not see him and you do not see him, you love him and you believe in him, and that brings you joy. Joy, joy, joy. I love the little vignette from Voyage of the Dawn Treader, one of the Narnia Chronicle books by C.S. Lewis, you know. There's this scene where Lucy is wandering through this big old spooky house. She's a little afraid. She comes to this room where there's a book. She turns the pages and comes to a page that's blank except for a few words under the heading, "A Spell That Makes Things Visible." Lucy wonders whether she should say those words out loud. Being Lucy, she does. She speaks them, and a moment later, she hears somebody coming up behind her. And she whirls around, and it's a lion. Her lion. The great lion Aslan, who is, of course, the Christ figure in Lewis's books for children. She says, "Oh, Aslan, I'm so glad you came. I was a little afraid in here." And Aslan says, "I didn't come from anywhere. I've always been here. You just made me visible." And I read that and I thought, when the risen Christ disappeared into heaven, he said to his disciples, "I am with you always, to the end of the age." So, says Peter, keep on believing in Jesus, and you will receive the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's the fifth dimension of the Easter verse, the salvation of your soul. Now, people who believe only in a physical universe say, no such thing. There's just flesh and blood, electricity and chemistry, and when that all snaps out, you're done. People on the metaverse can create all sorts of creatures, but not a one has a soul. Only in the world created by Jesus are souls saved. The kids don't quite know what a soul is. It's the you that's left when your body's gone. It's the you inside of that body, the you united to that body. The Bible says you will never end. Your body might die, but you will never end. Your soul has been saved. And the day will come when Jesus will raise up your body, put it back together with your soul, and you'll live as a whole person in a universe that's been restored to the paradise God always meant it to be. So, I come back to my opening question. What universe do you live in? Physical? It means nothing. Virtual? Well, you can do virtually anything that means nothing. Or you can choose to live in a multidimensional universe created by the risen Christ with an incredible future, an unshakable present, suffering that actually means something, the eternal presence of the risen Christ and the salvation of your soul. It's your choice. You have to believe to enter the universe that Jesus created. You have to choose to believe it and Him. I'll leave you with the words of Nick Cave, our rock star from Australia, you know. He's not ready to believe in God yet. He's not ready to give up his questions and his anguish and his complaints. But he also wonders, and here's how he puts it, "I wonder if I would be happier if I would stop window shopping and just walk through the door." Get the picture? You're at Rivertown Mall, you're walking along, you window shop, you look and you look, but you never walk in and buy. Nick Cave says, "I wonder if I would be happier if I would stop just looking at the Christian faith, thinking about it, examining it, and just walk through the door and believe it." That's what I want to say to all of you this morning. Maybe you're a kid, and you've heard this stuff all your life, and you sort of believe it, but you're not sure. You're still sort of on the outside. Maybe you're much older. You've been coming to church for a long time, but life's experiences have eroded your faith, and now you're looking in from the outside. Maybe you're brand new here. You've never heard this stuff before. You're saying, "Really?" I invite you all, stop window shopping. Walk through the door, put your faith in Jesus, enter the Easter verse, and rejoice with inexpressible joy. Then share it with somebody else. Amen. Lord Jesus, you have done what no one else could do. You've created another universe. You created the first one, and now this one. We praise you. We thank you, we love you, and we trust you to give us a place in that Easter verse where all is well. Lord Jesus, I pray for everybody here, for myself, for all that we know and love, that you'll give us the faith to stop shopping and walk in, to to take hold of that which you have bought for us. And then give us the joy that will show people that being a Christian is the best thing in the world, and help them then to follow Christ too. In your name we pray.